We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
And I thought today, in honor of Martin Luther and the anniversary of the Reformation, which I think you've already heard a good deal about this morning, that we would talk about courageous leadership. And as I was considering this, I came across a little story that I thought was interesting. It was at the American Psychological Association a few years ago. Martha, there you are. Two doctors presented their study, a Dr. Jack Lipton of Union College and a student from Columbia University, Scott Bouillon. What they had done is they had surveyed 11 different symphony orchestras and had asked them questions about each of the other sections of the orchestra. And here's what their results were. They asked about percussionists, and the answers they got were that they typical percussionist would be insensitive, unintelligent, hard of hearing, but fun-loving. Calvert didn't like that on the other side. The string section were seen as arrogant, stuffy, and non-athletic. The brass section, I bet you can guess this one, okay? One word, loud. Apparently, the woodwinds were the favorite. They were seen as quiet and meticulous in what they did, but nevertheless, a little bit arrogant as well. The reason I thought this was interesting is I've always enjoyed the symphony, and it made me wonder how in the world that these disparate groups that thought so differently about one another, how could they ever come together and to be able to make that beautiful music that they do? And it occurs to me that it is only under the leadership of the maestro, something like what Matt tries to do each week here in our church. And when they come together with a leader to show them the way, that it makes all the difference in the world. And I thought this morning, as we stand and greet each other, if there was someone that provided some leadership in your life, why don't you share that with one another as we say hello this morning? Y'all act like you like each other. Is that enough? I guess I should show some leadership now in bringing you back together. Perhaps that would be the best thing for me to do, to show some leadership for you here within the church. And I think that in this world today, for Christians to live and work in our world becomes difficult. I think that where we live and the society that we are in today, there are too many people that are willing to tear you down, to make fun of you, that aren't providing any real leadership for us. But that's what I'd like to tell you today. And for the record, of those of you that aren't familiar with me preaching, is I'm going to tell you what it is I want you to remember, okay? You take that home with you and you can sleep through the rest of it, though it's going to be pretty short. Fairly short sermon, so if you go to sleep, you may wake up and be all alone. It's not what others think of you. It's what you think of God. God has called you to a ministry and to a mission. So it doesn't matter. You're not fulfilling that ministry or that mission to make other people happy. You're fulfilling God's calling because of your faith in God. And it takes courageous leadership in order to be able to step out there and to do that. One of those courageous leaders that I thought about when I was putting this together was the Apostle Paul. Some people struggle with Paul, but you can't deny that he was very serious about his faith. The lectionary this week called for a reading from 1 Thessalonians, one of my favorites. You can make a pretty good argument that 1 Thessalonians was the first book written in the New Testament. But Paul had founded a church there in Thessalonica, and like a good church planner, he had done that and sent them out on their own, and he had left. He was in Corinth when he got word that the church back in Thessalonica was suffering because the people of the community were making fun of them and telling them that their faith was unfounded and that Paul was a charlatan, which in the time of Paul would not have been that unusual. There were traveling preachers, they might have even called themselves prophets, who, some of them I'm sure were very sincere, but many of them were in there for the quick buck. And that's what they were accusing Paul of being. Paul didn't take that very lightly. Well, here's what Paul had to say about it, 1 Thessalonians 2. As you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, our visit with you wasn't a waste of time. On the contrary, we had the courage through God to speak God's news in spite of a lot of opposition. Although we had already suffered and were publicly insulted, as you know, our appeal isn't based on false information, the wrong motives, or deception. Rather, we have been examined and approved by God to be trusted with the good news. And that's exactly how we speak. Here we go. We aren't trying to please people, but we are trying to please God, who continues to examine our hearts. Paul didn't give 2 cents for what people thought of him. Paul believed in his ministry and his mission from God, and he has called on the people of Thessalonica to be courageous leaders for the faith. And that's what Martin Luther had done as well. If you're not familiar with the story of Martin Luther, he was a Catholic monk in Germany 500 years ago or so, just after I was born. And at the time, the church taught that everybody had to obey the letter of God's law. Luther wanted to be a good Christian. He spent hours every day confessing his sins, trying to become closer to God. He was a good monk. He understood the law. And what made it worse, he also understood that no human could be perfect and that there would be no way to live up to what was being taught. There was no way to fulfill God's law. There was more to it than that. The church not only taught that they had to follow the law, the church was also selling what they call dispensations, and that for the right price you could get forgiveness for all your sins. Luther took exception to all of that. He thought the church needed to be reformed, the Reformation. So he made his thoughts public. He wrote down a list of the things he thought needed to be reformed, and about how many of them you think there were? About 95 or so. He went and nailed those to the door at the church in Wittenberg, not, well, just for reasons to bring these things for public debate, so they could talk about the things in the Reformation that needed to happen in the church. He did all of this because he was finally able to understand, to learn that our salvation does not come through obedience to the law, but that our salvation comes by grace through God. Luther found that in Romans 3. And starts in verse 19. I'm going to jump to 21 just to mess y'all up over there. But now God's righteousness has been revealed apart from the law, which is confirmed by the law and the prophets. God's righteousness comes through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. For all who have faith in him, there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but all are treated as righteous freely by his grace because of the ransom that was paid by Jesus Christ. Luther understood that we're saved by God's grace and our faith. It was a little trick to it. Along with that, that meant we had a responsibility for our own faith, for our own relationship with God, for our relationship with Jesus Christ, and for our own salvation. He believed that every person needed to be able to do that. To that end, once the church kicked him out and became excommunicated, he sat down and translated the Bible into German, and that, along with the invention of the printing press, became the seeds of the Reformation that followed, where the church began to divide itself and to, well, the different denominations that we know exist today as a result of the things that happened and followed. So it wasn't all just wonderful. In fact, here's what our own bishop, Scott Jones, has to say about the Reformation. The Reformation was a time when Christians in Europe returned to the basic teachings of the Bible, and they began to place an emphasis on the importance of personal faith and salvation through faith. It was their responsibility. Bishop goes on to say, but there's also a dark side of the Reformation. It split the church into many different denominations. And that's why the United Methodist Church stresses unity each year on Reformation Day. So we pause each year at this time to remember our roots of Protestantism when the church as we know it first began to germinate and to grow. But we also stop and pause to reach out to one another as Christians across the world, to reach out to one another, reaffirming our faith in Christ and assuming our responsibility for it ourselves. But you see, Luther understood that. He was willing to be a courageous leader. And I guess when talking about leadership as a good United Methodist, if I didn't mention John Wesley, the roof would probably fall in. But he's another great example of doing just that. He believed that the church needed to be reformed, that they had lost their way. And he was willing to do that. He didn't go nail anything to the door, But what he did, he stood up in the pulpit and began to preach that in the Anglican church. They didn't take to that very well. So he got kicked out, similar to what Luther did. But being a hard-headed Methodist, he went out to the street corners and under the trees and in the fields and continued to preach that which was on his heart, that which God had called him to do, what his ministry and his calling was. But Wesley, like Luther, didn't want to hurt the church. When Luther went and nailed those theses to the door, it wasn't an angry young rebel doing that. It was somebody who loved the church, who loved God, and wanted to make things better for people. He wanted to live out his own ministry with God. And I believe that it takes a great deal of leadership to be able to do that. A great deal of faith to follow through on what God is calling you to do. I think it takes a great deal of leadership to nail those theses to the wall. But I also think it takes a great deal of leadership to be able to offer your own chapel for a new congregation, to launch a church in a hurting society. I think it takes a great deal of leadership to offer office space to a nonprofit agency who is going out and working with foster children's and faith community to make a difference. I believe that it takes a great deal of courageous leadership to be involved with seafarers boxes, to be willing to donate blood, to be willing to go out and read with a child at Armstrong Elementary. I think all of these take a great deal of leadership, courageous leadership, in a time when there's so much hyperbole flying around in our world. And you might wonder, well, yes, I love God and I'm willing to fulfill my ministry, but I'm not quite sure. Or you may hear one of these so-called leaders trying to offer the solutions. And sometimes we wonder what the answers really are. Well, like Paul and Luther, the answers exist right here. The scripture that I live by is Matthew 22. It says there that when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, an attorney, a lawyer, asked him a question to trick him. He said, "Rabbi, which of the commandments in the law is the greatest?" Jesus answered him. He said, "The first and the greatest commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's the first and the greatest of the commandments. And a second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the law and all of the prophets hang on these two commandments." There's your measuring stick. There's your measuring rod that you go by. When you hear somebody telling you what it is you need to do, when you hear something in your heart, Christ has already given us exactly what we need to know in order to be able to be courageous leaders in our world today. In closing today, what I would like for you to do is to turn to your bulletins and to the screen. We have a litany of courage that I would like for you to follow me with. Could we stand as we do this, please? Join me here. Oh God, give us the courage to be revolutionary as your Son Jesus Christ was. May I find courage in the company of your people. Give us the courage to loosen ourselves from this world. Teach us to stand up free and to shun no criticism. May I find courage in the company of your people. Make us free, make us poor in this world. Then we will be rich in the real world, which is what life is all about. May I find courage in the company of your people. Remind us, O God, that it is for your kingdom. May I find courage in the company of your people. God, we thank you for the vision of the future, but make it fact and not just theory. Amen. And I believe that those courageous leaders, some of the greatest ones I know, are sitting right here. That those courageous leaders are you and you and you and you. And that's what we hope. That's my prayer, is that you will make a difference in the world in which you live in today. Would you join hands for the benediction, please? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Both now and forevermore, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as you leave here today, I do truly pray that you'll leave here in the love and the grace and the hope of Jesus Christ. And that may you know, may you remember, may you never forget. That it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you fall short. It doesn't matter where your doubts are. There's nothing you can do that would ever make God love you less. And I think if you lived it and believed it, you would be those leaders that our world needs. In the name of the Son.